Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm coming to you live from the Hudson Loft in downtown LA, doing a very special event with my favorite people at MERS Aesthetics. And I'm so delighted to introduce to you Jeff Castillo. Tell us something about yourself.
Well, I'm Jeff Castillo. I'm the Vice President for Sales on the injectable side at MERS. I've been there for 2 years, and prior to that, a long career with Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble.
And he's a comedian, so we are going to laugh on this
podcast. Oh, I don't know about that. We'll see.
And the beautiful Christina Myers, the brains behind the MERS Later Haters campaign. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. Christina Meyer, I am Jeff's counterpart on the marketing side, so I lead all of the marketing for the injectables business at MERS. I've been with the company just shy of 2 years, and I've been in the industry, I guess, for many years before that at different companies.
Wonderful. And today we had a really amazing event that was put on by MERS, and I enjoyed myself so much. So the purpose of our campaign today was to talk about the intersection of beauty and feminism, such a timely and important topic, and it's so our industry, right? And they say that women represent 90% or 95% of aesthetic clients. Is that right, according to your numbers?
That's correct. It's that high in percentage and continuing to grow. As we see women become more self-confident in themselves, we see them making those decisions at a higher level at a faster rate. And I'm sure Christina has some statistics she could give on that.
Yep. No, absolutely. I think that, and we talked about it today, I think that there's just more acceptance and accessibility
Yes.
to injectables, and so the category just continues to grow. But women are the majority and the driver in the category for sure.
The injectable aesthetics market is really like only 5% tapped. For those of you guys who are out there listening, thinking of going into this industry, what a ripe time to do it, because everyone wants to look younger and better and maintain their beauty, and 95% of the market is untapped. And today at this meeting, you guys invited me to partner with you, and I'm so thrilled to give my input on beauty and feminism. What are some of the driving forces between your what are some of the driving forces of your campaign, Christina?
Yeah, well, I think that the topic today was just one of the key sort of insights that we tapped into when we realized that there's a deeper conversation. When we started the campaign, one was to put Xeomin on the map. I don't think that many people realized, you know, that there are other products in the market and that there are options, and you know, we wanted to make sure that there was some brand recognition and awareness that there are choices. But as we dug deeper, we realized that there really still is so much stigma and judgment and, you know, guilt associated with this category, and it became very raw and very real. And so, you know, we think that we're not only educating and driving awareness about Xeomin, but that we're starting to really tap into and spark a bigger conversation, which was pretty apparent with the panelists today and with the conversation that you brought forth.
That's true. And then if you hear a lot of background noise going on, we're in the middle of downtown LA. There's a rockin' party next door. Lots
Great.
Of beeping ambulances. So just fade that out. There we go. Beeping ambulance on cue.
It's the real deal.
And this is hashtag no ad. Like, I was paid to come out here and give my opinion as an expert in my field, but I just think that Xeomin is the best toxin out there on the market. I just want to say that I use it personally, and I recommend it a lot for my millennial clients, because for a young person just starting out in this industry, I want you to have the presence of mind to think about longevity. You're going to be getting an injectable year after year for 15, 20, or 30 years. Like, why do you want to give yourself extra doses of accessory proteins that you don't want? So I'm just going to put that out there. I am paid by MERS, but this is my unpaid opinion, and I use all the products. I use Botox, I use Dysport, I use Jeuveau, went to Cancun to their big premiere, going to try Revance's product when it comes out. But certain things don't change, and I think one of the things I really value with working with MERS is that it's a family-based company. They turn on a dime when they want to do a project or achieve a goal. Like, I feel like you guys have really great ability to come up with original plans and thinking, and the research, the science, and the strength of this company. That's one of the things I really value. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Well, I'm glad, and I think that's a way you and I connected when we first met 2 years ago.
So you and I had a really amazing and deep conversation. You were like a prophet. 2 years ago, when I was just starting getting busy on my Instagram, and I was like, I'm using so much of your product, and you came to visit me in my office.
Yep, and I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, it was my smaller office before I blew up on Instagram, yes. And my office expanded, and what did you tell me? I asked Jeff, like, I really want to be on Podium. I really want to be a speaker for MERS. Like, why can't I be a lecturer and a speaker?
Yeah, and that was funny because I did a little research prior to you and I meeting, and I saw all the things you were building. And what I told her, and you'd appreciate this, Christine, I said, you don't belong on the podium. You've already built your own podium, and it's the future of the way we're going to be teaching and educating people. And I said, I want to join you on your podcast. I want to help ways of identifying your clientele base as well as those followers you have via social media and such. And you really listened to me. Most people would push me away and say, you know, that's not what I was asking for. But you said, tell me more.
Something of what you said kind of struck a chord with me, and I felt a little stabbed in the heart because I want to be, I am, after all, an academician, and I trained at UCLA. Maybe you didn't know, but I was in the MD-PhD program for a lot of years, getting my doctorate, and I studied molecular biology and neuroscience. Wow. So, like, I am a research-driven person. When he said that, I was like, but I want to be on Podium. But he was so accurate in saying that I have a bigger voice, and I realized that you were right, and I really stopped to think about where this industry is going and what's the right way to teach future injectors and what's the right way to teach our clients and our future, you know, injectable audience. So, you know, Christina, now the tools are, now you're in charge of reaching them. And now I guess it was sort of like a really interesting conversation because 2 years later, everything is about social media.
Well, look at modern universities. They're all going online. I mean, I went to University of Michigan, same track you did, traditional classrooms and such. Today, you get my same degree virtually online, the entire degree.
Today, do people need to go to college even? Really?
That's another great question. And one that's, you know, if you look at success rates, you're seeing that there's no difference on those who went to college and those who didn't. It's really interesting. Now, of course, a professional like yourselves, you'd want them to be at the highest levels like yourself.
Yeah.
But at my levels, I'm meeting just as many people that haven't gone to college that are very successful in the business world.
That's right. So we've come full circle. So 2 years later, he told me, use your bigger voice. You have a different role in this industry. And I was like, you know what? You're right, I do.
And you've nailed it. You are in the forefront of it.
Well, thank you.
I think
people
want immediate access to information and credible information. So I think, you know, there are still so many ways with publications and Podium and conferences, but those are sort of few and far between. Access to you is immediate. And so hearing your opinions and seeing what you're actually doing and your results, I think matters to people.
It does, and it's interesting. I would say a full 30% of my followers are probably injectors from all across the world.
It's amazing.
So I get so many questions about how I'm doing these different techniques and what am I using. And I'm a surgeon, so I like to innovate. Like, I do injectables a lot all day long because my clients are young. But I also operate, so the anatomy knowledge is comes easily to me. And so I think with that comes a lot of comfort with the needle and trying different things. So
I think consumers want to be educated now, too. I think that in the past, maybe we didn't give consumers enough credit for how much they really do want to understand the science, the anatomy, the techniques. And so I think people are more and more fascinated and able to sort of learn and be more informed when they make decisions because of social media.
That's for sure. I think we've underestimated how much people want to feel comfort and familiarity before they walk into an office setting. So being on Instagram allows me to say, okay, open the door, come in the treatment room with me, watch how it is when I inject a patient, notice that she's a totally normal looking woman, and notice that I'm not like very intimidating. And then the treatment goes pretty fast and well, and then that gives people really study the Instagram. So the average injectable patient for my office these days does 3 to 4 syringes of some type of injectable filler and
that's
a toxin.
Amazing.
And that's very different from, I think, in the beginning of my practice, or even, you know, 5 years ago, is really just people just doing a little toxin and maybe one syringe of something. And now, like, opening the doors and seeing, like, you can do a cheek contouring or a jawline contouring or many of these off-label things that we do, but it's kind of eye-opening.
I think you demystify it a little bit, and just like we've talked about with the campaign, you're really sort of taking away the stigma and normalizing it and showing people that it is, you know, people that you know. It's not just sort of this high idealistic celebrity model, which it is, but it's also me or, you know, my neighbor.
So. Yeah, I like to say that my patients are soccer moms, doctors, lawyers, and models, and like just normal housewives too. So I think demystifying is exactly right. And I love that your campaign, I love that term, the reclaimers movement. Will you talk a little bit about that? Why is it that we need to reclaim who we are?
Absolutely. And I think that what we were so surprised is how many of us can relate to that. And so when we talked to women, when we were developing the campaign and we were trying to really understand why people choose to get injections or why they don't, there was a lot of conversation about guilt. And guilt, and the guilt really was about, I should be spending my money and my time on something else other than myself. And we found that these women oftentimes are either so focused on their family, raising your children, or your career. You're a physician, you're a surgeon, you're building a practice, and people have jobs, they're trying to establish themselves. So it wasn't an age, it was a mindset that I'm focused and fixated and have spent so much of my life really on all of these other things, and then all of a sudden you lose yourself a little bit in that. And so that's why we call these women the reclaimers, because it's about sort of reclaiming what makes you you. Mm-hmm. And whether that's your skincare routine or injectables or exercise or anything, that you shouldn't feel guilty about wanting to be your best you.
That's very true. I think there does come a point in every person's life, hopefully every mature adult reaches that time, maybe like around your 40th birthday or your 50th, when you have one of those turning point birthdays, yep, where you do realize that life is very limited and we've reached this point and we have only a certain number of years left, and are you going to really find what is yourself? You know, what are you true?
What defines you?
What defines you? And it's time in your life to redefine yourself, reclaim yourself, because otherwise life is going to pass you by as quickly as the first 40 years have passed, right? So.
And we purposely did that. What I like about this campaign, where industry kind of set up how aesthetics should be perceived and or
yes,
accessed, we asked ourselves, how do our closest friends and families see it?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually purposely identified agencies outside of the industry to go out there and ask the question, mm-hmm, and understand truly who this reclaimer is, mm-hmm, and how can we empower them.
Right.
So I have to give it to our marketing program that, you know, they went outside the norm. We identified it. We saw there was a need and we came back. And now what we're doing here differently than anybody else in the industry is we're saying you have the right and the option. Empower yourself.
It's a nice conversation to have, because I've seen other companies' marketing campaigns that they've spent a lot of money on, the Juvederm campaign, and it's sort of like you have a problem, attack it. Like aging is a crisis and a problem and a spot, it needs a spot fix. But it's really a bigger issue of like you live in this world, you redefine yourself,
yes,
every day. If you're not a thoughtful human that wants to reclaim a certain part of your identity or just make yourself the best version of you, whether it's like because you're learning new tools or new philosophies or skills or beautification, like you're not a mature adult then. So I do think it's a whole different strategy.
It's empowerment. It's empowerment in different ways. It is. And some people say, well, it's a physical. Well, it all comes together. You're joined physically, spiritually, emotionally. It all needs to come together to be the best you. And that's what
right,
we're trying to say.
That's very true. Yeah. So are you a Zaman user yourself?
I am. And I'm also, you put me on my regimen for skincare. I don't know if people know that, because you're one of the first people.
Yes.
So I utilize some of your products and a little combination
my
of other products.
Hydration serum.
Yes.
I hope you like that.
You identified me right away what I needed.
Dry and dehydrated skin type.
You got
yes,
that. And
yes,
you got me. And I, you know, followed your lead and utilized some of our own products and incorporated it. And yes, I am a Zaman user.
Good.
It's funny, everywhere I travel, somebody wants to treat me somehow, someplace.
they all
want a piece of the face. They all want to put needles on me. So I got to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
But this is a variety of different injectors across the country.
It's
different
a work
doctors.
In progress.
It's a work in progress. It's a work. Are you saying that I need more progress is what you're saying right now?
I think I can add a layer of...
Can you? I'm coming to see you soon.
Fine patina.
Okay, I'm going to come see you soon then. Good.
No, you're very handsome. Guys have
you.
It easy. The older you get, the more distinguished and handsome they look, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Women don't look so good when they get older. They get rugged. It doesn't look good on women.
But I want to tell you this. I was telling my wife this. I think moms today are so much more put together and looking so much better than they did when I was a kid. I don't remember seeing as many beautiful women. And I
yes,
think it's they're taking care of themselves and control, and I think it's a great thing. And that's why I want to see this thing explode to the highest level.
Yeah, well, our generation is the first generation of women to have more than Oil of Olay and Pond's Night Cream
Pond's
and Noxzema, because like we grew up with our moms, that's all they had.
Yep.
Pond's Night Cream and Noxzema, and they look pretty darn good, but we have all this technology and tools, so it's interesting to see. We're sort of the test generation, so for me, it's super important to like mold people's impression correctly. And I feel so personally responsible too for young people, because they watch the Instagram, they see all the other people getting work done, people getting perfection in their face, and I just don't think it's a realistic or good goal. And social media can be very bad for your self-esteem.
Yeah, I think what you said today on the panel, I mean, there were so many things you said that were just very compelling, but when you talked about, you know, just that transparency and the authenticity and letting women and girls know that, you know, what you see takes work, and it is not necessarily that all of these women that we see on social media are just so beautiful and that you can't feel good about yourself. I mean, I thought that was, as a mother of daughters, and I have a daughter myself, I think that really is important to me, that, you know, in the world of filters and in the world of injectables, that's great, but that is, you know, what it is. It's not just that everybody that you see on Instagram is just, you know, mm-hmm. you know, beautiful by their own makings always, and that you should feel bad about yourself.
That's true. It's an interesting industry, because every day we want people to look better and want people to invest in themselves, but we also don't want to create the backwards effect of like judge yourself every day with a microscope in the mirror and scrutinize every little flaw. So yeah. There's a lot of importance. So I think we should go full circle and go back to like making a better person internally. Like, do you read books?
Yes.
Do you think? Do you contribute to society? Because I don't think Instagram values that very much.
Yeah, I think that's one thing about the Reclaimer. Sorry for all the noise. I think one thing about the Reclaimer, and where we're trying to make the conversation about bigger than just the brands, and that's what I love about the support and, you know, encouragement that MERS gives us, is that, you know, it's about whatever makes you feel good about yourself. And we heard a lot from these women, it's about your own inner confidence. If I feel my best self, I can be more present with my family. I can be more confident in the boardroom. I can feel more empowered at work. And so it's not about looking a certain way for anybody else. It's about how you feel. And if that means that's because you went to the gym that morning, or because you're eating healthy, or because you get injections, whatever it is to make you feel that best you, that's what matters.
That's true. Just taking the time for self-care, and like, I hope guys will do it too. That's the next big frontier for you, Jeff, is to break down the barriers for men getting injectables. So good luck with that one.
Well, you know, I think if more people we empower, the more we access on the women's side of it, like you said, it's an under-accessed market, I think men will come along.
Yeah. But I think when I go to meetings, I even don't even see a bunch of the guys and the speakers and the actual people involved with products using them. Like, men feel that they don't have to. They just walk in and do their thing and like, yeah, I have wrinkles, just take me seriously anyway. But for women, it's like we have to walk in, we have to look. I gotta look sharp, and I have my makeup done, my hair blown out, the uncomfortable shoes on, the whole works. You have it easy.
But I do try to look my best at these meetings. I do try to,
you
when
do
I
look
had
sharp.
Hair, I try to blow it out more, but I have less and less over time. But I will tell you, self-care has been something that, as we get older, it's a more competitive world, and we have to be a lot more aware of what's happening around us and how we present ourselves. So I try to take better care of myself.
That's good. I think the men that are doing injectables do come in with that motivation of staying, like, you know, marketable and young and timely.
Absolutely.
And not looking like you're aging out of, you know, the corporate world.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. What's your advice to women trying to break into the corporate world? There's lots of young girls going to listen to this podcast.
Wow, and Christina and I have this conversation on a regular basis. And, I think the number one thing, and having a young daughter who's actively involved in different businesses and such, I always make sure to let them understand is to be yourself and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think your voice can't be heard.
Right.
Stand firm. Stand strong. And even though at times the masses may not be in agreement with you, which has happened in my career as well,
mm-hmm.
but stand firm and be flexible. And I, you know, I really think that the key to all of this, and you define feminism in a new fashion for me today, the way you addressed
feminism.
It. It was awesome the way you summed it up. And it's not about a movement.
Yeah.
It can't be about a movement. It's about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think empowerment starts with the individual first. Mm-hmm. And once that person has established their own empowerment, others will come to respect them. So that's very important. I have a daughter who's very, very confident about herself, and she has no problem standing firm for what she believes. And to me, that's the most gratifying thing to see. She'll be successful in the world for sure.
Well, sure, with the roots you're giving her, yeah.
I'm really fortunate. And I had a mother who came here with, you know, as a refugee with nothing, and she worked hard to get her degrees and advance in her career, and she became a very successful educator in the Detroit public school systems, mm-hmm. with English being a second language and all that, but she was never held back. My dad always pushed her.
Right.
So I've had that example in my life.
I have too. I have a mom who's a doctor, and in that day and age, it's of course difficult to become a doctor 40 years ago, and then a grandma who's a doctor. So I'm third generation woman physician.
That's amazing.
And you know, my grandma went to school, of course, in India, where her dad was like, what are you talking about? You want to go to school, you need to just get married. And it was very outlawed, so she really persisted and fought. So your roots make you the person that you are.
Well, there's a great book called The Triple Package that talks about that. The roots and our backgrounds, where we come and how it defines us in today's society. It's written by the same lady who wrote Tiger Mom.
Oh,
and
okay.
She did this research, and she travels around the country speaking about that. So I would highly recommend to your listeners to read The Triple Package. A very interesting book.
That sounds good. I worry sometimes that my kids are getting handed things too easily. Do you worry about that? Because I know as
Christina and I talk about this too. Yes, we do. And I raised mine in Orange County, which wasn't easy.
Oh, gosh,
right?
Yeah, so much peer pressure. Actually, for kids, there's a lot of peer pressure.
A lot of peer pressure.
Days.
And, you know, they wanted to drive the BMWs and all that, and they had to be perfectly
purse,
happy with the Ford Focus. That's the way we ran in our home.
Yes.
And not that I couldn't afford it, but I wanted to set a foundation with my kids. So
exactly.
we work at that. It's hard.
It's very hard. You have to have really fixed rules, I think. Like, we said no cell phones till 8th grade, period.
That's good.
And then I used to be able to emphasize getting, like, a reading list when the kids were younger. But my kids now, I have twins that are at Georgetown and another one going to USC.
And you and I have twins. It's another thing.
Oh, you have twins, too.
I have twins, too.
I have fraternal boy-girl.
Okay, me too.
Awesome.
Me too. They're going to be juniors in college.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, mine are sophomores.
That's amazing.
So it's been interesting watching kids grow up, and, like, I think shaping the conversation is like a personal responsibility, because it's easy to just say, come into this industry and get stuff done to your face and let's just make you beautiful and glamorous, and that doesn't solve the bigger questions of, like, what does society need, and like you said, what are your friends, what would your friends and family, what would you want to talk to them about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and Jeff said it. Jeff has been such a great advocate and champion and partner, and I think he nailed it. It's about inner confidence,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, being proud and open and accepting of who you are and what you bring to the table. And, you know, I think that we're fortunate in, you know, at MERS, especially where 60% of our executive leadership in the Americas are women, that we have these amazing female role models that are fierce and fabulous and powerful in positions like medical affairs and finance. But we also have very strong, supportive men leaders like John Gamouche and Jeff Castillo and Patrick Urban and Bob Radigan that really empower, encourage, and support us to bring ideas to the table. They weren't that comfortable when we talked about later haters, and if it wasn't for Jeff supporting me, I think that the organization was open to, you know, sort of thinking outside of the box and having a different conversation. So we're very, very fortunate.
I think part of our secret too is that we hold each other accountable, and that's really important. So if there's times that Christina feels I'm coming out a little bit to the box, or I'm not being sensitive to certain situations, she calls me out of it. And when I feel that she's not standing up for the way she should and stuff, I'll call her out. Or and I think that's really important. One of the highest executives in the history of J&J was a female by the name of Karen LeCitra. And she had a similar friend who was named Nick Verliani, who they worked together and held each other accountable throughout their careers, and their careers skyrocketed at J&J because of that. And I'm thankful that we could both hold each other accountable. That's a
tag team.
Very important for everybody, I would tell
in
my
life
daughter.
Too, like in marriage and life and
exactly.
any partnership. Yeah, you have to have not just fun all the time, but also accountability.
Accountability's huge.
Yes. Well, I want to ask you a couple quick questions about the toxin market changing, as you know, with new people on the scene, with Juvo. What are your guys' thoughts as how does Zeman going to position itself?
No different than what you see and hear today. We're confident that we're addressing a market that has a need, and we think that the market's growing between 8 and 10%. There's plenty of opportunities for everybody. We need to continue empowering women with their choices and driving that, knowing that we have a unique offering. And we need them to understand that unique offering. I also think it's important. I think competition is a good thing. The executive CEO of Coca-Cola years back was named Gosueta, and he was losing share to Pepsi, and they asked him what he thought about that, and he said, thank God for Pepsi because it makes us a better Coke.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think competition is a good thing, and I think we're ready for this, and I think we're in a very good position. Christina, what do you think?
I absolutely agree. I think, you know, MERS is on the map, and I think that Xeomin is as well, and we are currently the fastest growing neurotoxin in the market. I think that...
Why do you think that? That's interesting.
Well, I think some of it is that we're having the conversation. We have advocates like yourselves that are coming out and actually saying that this is a product that they choose to use with their patients or on themselves, and this is why. And I think because we provide an option, we're different. We feel that that is, you know, important to have choices. And so I think having more products in the market just opens people's minds to the fact that there are options and that they can make that decision themselves or with their, you know, healthcare professional, but that there are actually choices in the market. So I think that just opens the category. I think more people talking about it brings more people into the category.
What do you think of Jeuveau's whole marketing campaign with their cute little pink and Instagrammable moments? And I mean, you must have some thoughts.
I think that everybody is doing a great job of increasing awareness.
You're so positive and sweet. I love it.
You know, I've worked with the team there for a long time. I know them well. They're very strong and very talented. And I think that, as Jeff said, that forces everybody to step up their game. And I think that's a great thing.
That's true. There's all kinds of toxins out there. And for my own clients and for my Instagram audience, I always want to bring you guys all the facts and the knowledge base and my personal level of experience clinically after reading the research and looking and using and trying all the products. And there is, like Pepsi and Coke, there's a product out there for you. So you got to try them all, find your favorite soft drink, and then you'll know what your drink is, what your tox is.
Absolutely.
But for me, tox is tox. Like, as much as I love you guys, I think that it's really the hands of the provider that provide the precise placement and can provide imprecise problematic placement, too.
Absolutely.
So I really think that there should be a results-driven, you know, sort of approach to where you want good results, you have to see someone who can provide them. That's number one. It's not so much about the actual individual product. That matters is when we have good quality and good product, but the injector matters probably most. And injector education is highest degree of importance.
And I fully agree with what you're saying, and I think that's the biggest contribution from industry that we give back to the sector is choice.
Yeah.
Making sure we empower more the practice and the physician, the extender, with the opportunity to provide choices to their patients.
Right.
So what differentiates us a little bit too is that we really empower the practices to drive that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not driving a brand name into your organization and letting that be the draw. We would rather you be the draw to your patients, and we provide you support that way. So this is an awareness campaign. It's not a brand initiative, if you will. It's more of an awareness campaign, an empowerment. Would you
That's
agree with
awesome.
That, Christina?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's a conversation between you and your patient.
Exactly.
And what we can do is provide you resources and materials and educate the patient and the consumer that there are different products that they should talk to their healthcare provider about. And if we can, you know, insert ourselves into that conversation to be part of those options that are considered, we think that we've won.
Will you guys ever do direct-to-consumer more so than what you've been doing?
I'll let Christina address that one.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we're doing direct-to-consumer now. The campaign just launched a few months ago, so we're going to continue to double down and invest. We are, you know, a family-owned company, so we will be very choiceful and wise about where we put our money, and I think that it's a balance in supporting the consumer and the awareness, which we're absolutely doing, but also supporting your practices.
Mm-hmm. I think if we were to differentiate ourselves, we were going to be more of a tactical-like company working closer.
Mm-hmm.
The customer is a very focus-centric area of MERS. So when you come out of an elevator in our headquarters, the first thing you will see is, what have you done for a customer and or sales rep today?
Wow.
And we want that to be the center of our focus. So what I hope is we continue launching materials, abilities for you to position yourself at a higher level versus trying to force the patient to go to you and ask for something certain. We want to force you, allow you to believe in our product, and extend it to that patient. So I think that's a lot of what you're going to see in the future from us.
Can you hint about any future developments with new injectables, fillers, or is there anything in the market that might be tantalizingly interesting coming?
I would say we're always looking and always having conversations. We do have a very strong R&D focus, and we have both looking towards future indications as well as future products, both in the U.S. but really around the world.
It's incredible. Those of you listening that don't know, MERS has something like 10 different Bellatero products out there.
Yes,
in Europe.
We do.
I went to the International Anti-Aging World Congress in Monaco, and I was fortunate to speak. I spoke about Radius, calcium hydroxyapatite, and I was so floored to see this rainbow of beautiful colored filler boxes. I was like, when are we getting this good stuff in America, if ever?
Well, we're asking the same thing, because they're working on it, and we hope to have something here soon. But you know, you never know. When you're working with outside regulatory bodies, you just have to make sure you address it and present it in a way that goes through the process accordingly. But yes, it's a great offering, highly used, right, Christina? Our products are highly used outside of the United States.
Yeah, I think that we feel, both in the U.S. and around the world, that we have products that are unique and differentiated and different in every category. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is always a little bit more challenging, and we always tend to get products a little bit later than the rest of the world. I think that's, you know, one, a good thing, because that means that we have very strong regulatory authorities and requirements, but it's also sometimes a bit of a frustration when you know that there's other, you know, other treatments and other products that aren't yet here. So we're actively working on what we can do to bring, you know, more of our products from the rest of the world into the U.S.
Right. Well, I'm excited this year to use more of the calcium hydroxyapatite and Radius in terms of body contouring. So that's something, if you're listening, you're going to hear about more on my Instagram. I'm using it as kind of a wash treatment to wash the face and wash the neck and provide this, like, you know, off-label use, but very nice collagenization of tissues that become thin and crepey with textural aging changes for the arms, the legs, the neck. So some exciting things in progress.
Sounds very exciting.
And I'm doing actually a little trial for, which I'm fondly calling my beach butt study, for cellulite dimples with Radius, too.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exciting
so
times.
Creating cute beach butts.
Excellent.
And that's why you're the physician, because you can make those decisions, obviously, for us. You know, the Radius label is for nasal labial folds, so that's what
exactly.
we have to stick to. But
you guys can't talk about it, but
nope.
I can. But
you can talk about beach butts all you want.
That's it. So,
yes.
Well,
good
tell us,
you.
You know, two tips for someone starting out in the injectable world, if you have any.
Yeah, I would say stay close to the customer and be flexible. That's really, really important. You know, we really try to encourage all our executives to get out in the field and listen to you folks. You guys understand the current market and the addressable market and the future market better than anybody does. So we really try to encourage that. I like to spend 2 to 3 weeks out every month out in the field just listening and addressing you guys and interacting, and it's tiresome. It's tough, but I think it gives us a competitive edge. So I would say get out there as much as possible. Spend as much time with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And leverage their strengths, too. Understand your customer enough to know what their strengths are and help leverage that.
Any nice tips for, I study successful people, so I like to read about successful people and their habits, and they seem to have, like, very interesting morning habits. Do you have any good morning success habits?
Absolutely. I you know, it's funny, I go into the office a little later because I spend my first part of the morning addressing emails without any interruption, calling customers back. It's my time where I usually connect with all those that I need to connect with. It's quiet time in the house. I'm drinking my cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I may be talking to customers in slippers in a bathrobe, but I just feel more relief in the ability of doing that. And then when I get to the office, it's the hustle and bustle, so I don't have to worry about returning calls and that. So I spend a lot of my time just returning calls and talking to people, even talking to my parents. Every morning my parents get a call from me. How was your evening?
That's a good habit. I hope that I talk to my mom every single day too.
Me too. My father's 87 years old, and he's still one of my advocates and advisors.
That's amazing. And you, Christina, any morning tips that are making you the person you are?
Yeah, well, I have three children, so they're usually my morning. But I think back to reclaiming, after, you know, the birth of my third son, I've started really, and I've seen this with a lot of successful people, is I start the day with exercise. So I go to the gym now in the morning a lot earlier than Jeff.
Bad.
I try to get Jeff
making
to go to,
me feel bad.
I tried to get Jeff to go to SoulCycle with me at 7 this morning, and he was returning emails.
I was at a rum bar at 2 in the morning. I don't know how I could be at SoulCycle.
But again, it's sort of like just setting your sort of mental frame of mind for the day. And so for me lately, that's been something that really kind of gets me energized and makes me feel like I've done something for myself and before I come home and, you know, deal with getting all my kids ready and then going to, as Jeff said, sort of the hustle and bustle of the office.
Well, you guys are both powerhouse individuals, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule and inviting me to participate with this campaign, which is, I think, such a thoughtful and important message to deliver. So you guys can definitely look up Ziemann on their Instagram at Ziemann Aesthetics. Find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces and bodies this year. And
can't wait.
Check out my amazing skincare. Jeff, I'm going to have to send you some more hydrating serum.
I need it. I need to come
visit
you.
He's looking a little dry.
I'm looking a little dry.
And that's it for now, you guys.
Thank
Stay
you, Dr.
beautiful.
K.
Say later, haters.
Later, haters.
Love you.
And
later,
thank
haters.
You for participating in the panel. It was brilliant, and you were amazing. And I'm going to take STEMinism with me, in addition to feminism, now wherever I go.
That's right. Be a STEMinist.
Love it. Thank you, guys.
Bye for now, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.